Good to see everyone this morning. We return to Revelation. Let me say up front, thank you for all the cards that I received and for the gift from the class. I do appreciate that. My wife certainly appreciates it, and she got her a pair of walking shoes. So thank you so much for that, and I guess I appreciate your attendance more than anything, and I appreciate your attentiveness. You know, I don't know what this year holds. Don't know if I'm going to be here the whole year or not. If I'm not, I know that the Lord will have someone to carry on and teach. But I do appreciate the many years that you've allowed me to teach. And I appreciate the Lord giving me that opportunity. And so as we go towards this new year, I hope that we go towards it with a desire to understand the Word more. And the more we understand of the Word, the more we'll give ourselves to the Lord. But we are in Revelation, and Psalms 103 starts out by saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and let everything that is within me bless his holy name." You know, it's such a short verse, but so much contained within it. The word bless, it means to bestow honor, to give reverence, to give thanks, to worship. You know, I've said so many times that we're all guilty of coming in here, and I say we're all. We're all guilty of coming in here half-hearted. We're all guilty coming in here to worship half-heartedly. But that verse doesn't say that, does it? It says, and everything that is within me, every part about me, my mind. What's my mind on when I come in here? My heart. What's my heart on? What's my heart thinking when I come in here? You say, but Tom, it's hard. I know it is. That's why I said we. Oh, I know it is. You say, well, why are you telling us that? Well, what does it say when they said, Lord, teach us to pray? And he said, well, pray in this manner. Now, he didn't say, quote this and let it be a prayer. That wasn't what he was saying at all. He was saying, pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, oh, holy is your name. You know, I think sometimes that's where we get off the rail. That's where we get off the highway. we forget how holy he is. He's so merciful to us. He's so gracious to us. He's so forgiving to us. He's so loving towards us. He's so kind towards us. Sometimes we take those things and forget how holy he is. But he says, pray in this manner. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy own. Isn't that the key? Isn't that the key to understanding? Not an excuse now. Don't you run out here and say, Tom, give me a good excuse. No, I'm trying to give us understanding on why Paul said kill the flesh every day. You know, I've told you this, and I'll tell you again. I'm not trying to throw roses on me or build myself up. God knows I got no place to do that, I can assure you. But I pray every Sunday morning, Lord, if there's any sin, any iniquity, any evil that would hinder or inhibit worship today, forgive me, cleanse me. Let the water of the word wash me, that I can go into the house of God, not in my own purity, but in the purity of Christ, so that my worship is not hindered, so that the flesh is not in the way, so that I'm not thinking about ball games and other things and what I'm going to do this afternoon or what I hope to do this week or what I hope to do this year. But in this moment, it belongs to him. You say, but that's hard. Yeah, it is. You know, anything's hard you don't prepare for. You know, I tell people who ask me about how do you win golf tournaments? Well, first of all, you have to have some kind of golf game. You know, if you can't play a lick, don't think about winning. Just think about enjoying the game. So first you have to have the ability to play, right? But then I tell people this. The key to winning is preparation. I guarantee you, if you ask Nick Saban, everybody knows Nick Saban. He's the coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide, right, brother? He's beat you Bulldogs and our Vols every year that he's been there, just about. Not every year for you, every year for us. I guarantee you, if you ask him, what is the key to winning all these games? Well, the first thing he'd say, well, I've got good players. Well, everybody's got good players, right? But he would tell you this. He calls it process or preparation. It's how well you prepare. Well, folks, look, if if it's that way for a stupid ball game, and I say that respectfully to ball games, I know I enjoy it myself. But if it's that way for a ball game, how much more is that true about coming to the house of God to worship? If we don't come prepared to worship, how all of a sudden are we going to go worship? You see, coming in here on Sunday morning is about how you've prepared all week long. And then when you come in here, it's just bubbling over. I can't wait to get there, Lord, and tell him what you've done for me this week. That's worship. Now, I'm not jumping on anyone. I said we. I'm as guilty as you. But if God will let us live this year, can we not make it a New Year's resolution, but make it a promise to God? God, I'm going to start preparing for worship. Now you say, now why are you saying all this? Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, and everything that is within me, bless his holy name. Let everything that hath breath. Now, folks, that look, that's the earthly people, isn't it? He's not saying that to heavenly people. He's saying it to those here. You say, but Tom, I thought we are heavenly people. Well, we are spiritually. But physically, are we not here? Well, there is the hindrance. There is what inhibits you. There is what hinders me. It's the flesh. And we have to kill it. And folks, I got to tell you, there's just one way you're going to kill it. Anybody want to hold up the knife that kills it? That's the only way you're going to kill it. But as you kill it each day, and is that not what Paul said to do? As you kill it each day, that means you're in it each day. And if you're in it each day, what else are you doing? Preparing. Do you see how that works? Not only does it help you get through each day by killing that which hinders you each day, it's preparing you for this day. I realize that each day is the Lord's, right? But Lord, it's also the Lord's day. It's the Lord's day. It's a day he set aside for his children to come here and other places and do what? That's all. He did, listen, he didn't set this up for social events, folks. I'm not being mean. I'm trying to help us all to get ready to do what? And to do what else? Go home to heaven. Because guess what? Turn to 19. And after these things, what things? After what things now? Well, what chapter are you in? There you go. After the things that happened in 17:18, what happened? What? Say it out, son. There you go. Say it out. Let's make this promise. This year, we're going to speak it out. We're not going to mumble it. We're not going to whisper it. We're going to shout it out. Judgment, bless God. That's what happens. And you know what he said over there in 18? As he's judging this godless, sin-cursed, Satan-led, beast-led world. You know what he's saying to do? Oh, he says one thing. Rejoice over her, ye heavens. In other words, when God's laying it to them, remember, the word plague is what? Pounding. As God's given them a pounding, we're not saying they're saying, bless your heart. We're saying they're saying, praise God, give it to them, God. You say, Tom, that's awful. That's what he says, do. Rejoice over her. Listen, let me tell you something. Now, this is a hypothetical, please. This is a hypothetical. It's a terrible illustration. I will say that up front, but it's all I thought of. Let's say that someone hurts Brady. And somebody runs up to that person that hurt Brady and just starts pounding on. You're going to come over and say, well, bless his heart, let up on him. No, you're going to say, give it to him. He's got it coming, bless God. Anybody hurt a little child like that, give it to him. Well, that's sinful people, folks. God's not sinful. God's judgment is righteous. When he judges this world, it's going to be true and righteous. That's what he says. True and righteous are his judgment. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to be saying, God, give it to them. They got it coming. But not only are we going to be rejoicing over his judgments of the world, after he gets through judging them, what are we going to do? Same thing. We're going to rejoice. He says, and after these things, I heard a great voice. Now, is that singular or plural? Thank you. Get over here, honey. High five. Huh? I heard a great voice. But notice the singular goes to plural of. How much people? Much people. How much people? Oh, much people. In other words, an innumerable amount, right? You say, well, boy, I've heard that somewhere. Where have we heard that? Boy, I've heard that somewhere. I've heard about that innumerable number. Where was that? Oh, I remember. It's when John was called up to heaven. And he saw this innumerable number of people. And what were they doing? Worshiping. So he says, and after these things, I heard this one voice. Now, here's the thing that I got from that. And I made me a little note. I make little notes. It helps me. Maybe it'll help you. Here's what I said. I said one voice. One testimony. One mind. One accord. One song. One tune. One body. Now you won't see that down here, will you? Well, unfortunately, that's not how it is here. But there, what was it Jesus prayed in the garden in John chapter 17? How many of you have gone and read 17 yet? I've been 2 years telling you to go read it. Boy, it's just, I tell you what, if you want something to lift you up, now you go read that prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. And one thing he said in there was this. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think it's possible that Jesus would ask something of the Father that the Father wouldn't give him? Remember what we said we was going to do this year. No. Thank you, brother. You know, we'll do but for the pastor, but we can't do no for me. But Henry did. Listen, there's nothing that the Father would turn Jesus down on. And so in John chapter 17, when he says, Father, I pray that they are one. As we are one. What he's saying is this, Father, I want my children to have one mind, one heart, one voice. I want them to be one as you and I are one. Well, folks, let me tell you something. When we get home, God's going to answer that prayer. We're going to have one voice. Oh, it's going to be of much people. An innumerable amount. I don't know how many. God does. He knows every one of them. He knows the innumerable number. That sort of seems strange, doesn't it? I mean, how can it be an innumerable number if somebody knows the number, right? Right? Thank you. I tell you, I don't believe we're going to make it through the year. I can't get through. All right, here we go. Now, here's what they're saying. Here's what this one voice is saying. Hallelujah! You say, Tom, you've gone crazy. No. That's what we're going to be doing. And I guarantee you that no one's going to be timid about it. No one's going to be embarrassed about it. No one's going to be ashamed to say, Hallelujah! Because this is going to be gone, folks. This hindrance that we've got, this vile flesh, you say, is it vile? Well, if yours is like mine, it is. Sometimes I say, Lord, I hate this. I hate myself. How can I have those thoughts? How can that thought enter my mind? I tell you why, it ain't got nothing to do with the devil now. It's got to do with this flesh that you're in. That's how Satan gets to you through it. But folks, it's this flesh we're in, and we're the ones that have to control this flesh. Listen, what goes into a computer? What do you put in it, bless God? And what comes out of it? What you put in it? Listen, if we're in the Word less than we're watching the TV, what's going to come out? What the TV says. The young and the restless. Example. I don't watch it. But folks, it's like we're in a fog. And the way out of the fog is here. You have to have fog lights. Right? Regular lights don't work. Fog lights work though, don't they? That's why they call them fog lights. I don't know how they work, but they work. So he says, this one voice is saying, Hallelujah. Now, that's an interesting word. Actually, it's got an H in front of it. Because it comes from an old Hebrew word. I realize that the New Testament's written in the Greek. But it comes from an old Hebrew word, which is Hallel. And it means praise Yah. Now, Yah was a Hebrew word for God. So what is he saying? What does the word hallelujah mean? You say, Tom, how do you know that? Well, I read a few more verses. Because this on down, this heavenly cheerleader. Everybody, if you know what a cheerleader is, raise your hand. Anybody don't know what a cheerleader is? Now, what does a cheerleader do? Cheers. Huh? Cheers. Well, I realize they cheer. For crying out loud, anybody could get that part. Huh? Well, they root for their team, but what are they trying?
They encourage you.
Yeah, there you go. Listen, they come out and say, 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits a dollar, all for you. The Warriors stand up and holler. What does everybody do? Bless God, they stand up and holler. Why? Because the cheerleaders got them fired up. Well, this heavenly cheerleader comes out from the throne, it says. Good place for the cheerleader to come from. From the throne. And you know what he says? Praise our God. You know what everybody does? They say hallelujah. Praise God. Listen, when the cheerleader tells you what to do, what do? You do what the cheerleader says. And you know what? All of a sudden your team gets fired up, right? Everybody gets excited. That's why you have cheerleaders. Listen, I never will forget. I'll tell you this real quick. I played football for Happy Valley. It wasn't very good. I played 11 different positions. They never could find one I could play very good. But I never will forget, we went over to play this team in North Carolina, And we were down like, I want to say 30 to nothing. I'll just use that. It was bad at halftime. I mean, it was bad. We were just, they were killing us. So we come out and I kicked off. You know, that's one of the positions of the 11, you know, that I had. I kicked off. So I'm getting ready to kick off. Well, over here's our cheerleaders. You know what they said? Who's the head? Who's the head? We're getting killed out here, and you want who's the head? What kind of a cheerleader is that? Listen, that's not the cheerleader in heaven. I can tell you what, the cheerleader in heaven knows exactly who's the head. We are. And we're not only ahead, we're winning. We're not only winning, we've won. And they're over there saying, praise God. Praise God. Folks, listen, that's, it's not just about Sunday morning. We're to praise God every day. Every day. Well, we can't praise Him, bless God, if we've got too much of the world in us. If we're too much in love with the world, we can't praise Him. That's not where our mind is. So it says, now, he says, here's the reason to praise Him. Salvation, glory, honor, and power belongs to God. How many of you are saved? How many of you are glad for salvation? Well, folks, are we going to wait till we get there to worship Him for it? Are we going to wait till we get there to thank Him for it? Are we going to wait till we get there to praise Him for it? I mean, if we're saved now, isn't it a, listen, wouldn't it be wonderful? You say, Tom, I don't know what you're up to today. I'm a cheerleader today. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be absolutely glorious if people in this church were to get up on Sunday morning and say, praise God for saving my soul. Well, that's what. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What are they doing in heaven? Well, I'm reading it to you. We're to praise Him for His salvation. We're to give Him glory and honor and power. Why? Because it belongs to Him. You're to honor Him through your life because it belongs to Him. You're to give Him glory because it belongs to Him. You're to have a testimony for Him because it belongs to Him. And then the other reason for saying praise the Lord, for true and righteous are His judgment, for He hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, why'd they say hallelujah? For her smoke ascendeth up. Lord, you give them a pounding. Praise your holy name. And the results of that pounding is going to be reminded forever and forever because you're the Lord. You're God Almighty. Praise your holy name. World can't do that, folks. The world can't do that. Only we can do that. Only we have the right to do that. Only we have the responsibility to do that. Only we have the privilege to do that. Then the question is, why don't we do that? Huh? You say, Tom, you're awful mean today. No, listen, I get beat before you ever get beat. It's what we're going to do when we get there. Is tonight Fifth Sunday singing? Huh? Tonight is? Okay, that's why I chose the songs I chose, isn't it? I'm not telling you what I chose. But it's why I chose the songs I chose. And again they said, hallelujah, for her smoke grows up forever and ever, and the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down. Well, they do. And worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, amen. You know what amen means, don't you? Huh? So let it be. So let it be. And what's the next word?
Hallelujah.
Thank you there. We're starting to pick it up. Hallelujah. So let it be. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And let everything that is within me bless his holy name. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye servants and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, thank you. Thank you. That's what they're doing. I mean, I haven't read but about six verses here. And what's the theme? Hallelujah. Praise God. He's worthy. Praise his holy name. He saved me. I'm here because of him. I'm not, my smoke is not ascending forever and ever. My praises will though. Huh? My glory for him will. My honor for him will be forever and ever. Why? Because I'm goody two shoes. No. Because of him. He's done it. You are what you are. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. You'll be where you'll be by the grace of God. And boy, won't it be good to get out of this vile, sinful flesh where we can say hallelujah without being inhibited. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. Why? You know, we talk about a lot down here, about being the bride of Christ, right? My wife and I, we got married right before Wednesday night services, you know, and we didn't have a long drawn out what is it before you, we didn't date very long.
Courtship,
thank you. You know, and we got married 2 weeks before I went to Vietnam. But I can tell you, I remember exactly what she had on. I remember exactly how she looked. I carried that picture not only in my mind, but in my backpack in Vietnam. My bride. My bride. I remember what it was like. Folks, let me tell you something. When we get home, it's going to be wonderful. Won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, joyously singing, heart bells all ringing. Won't it be wonderful there? But he says that it's time for the marriage supper of the Lamb. And blessed are they that are called And he says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Listen to what it says now. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, pure and white. For the fine linen is the... Well, that word is plural. One of the few times in the Bible it's plural. What it says is it's the righteousnesses of the saints. In other words, it's all the right things that you did make up your dress. In other words, how lovely do you want your dress to be? Then do a lot of right things. But did you notice what it says? To her was granted that she should. Oh, those are two interesting words. I'll give you a paraphrased version. She was given power that it might be possible to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. In other words, here's what it says. If you do something right, he gets the glory. He gave you the power to do it. He empowered you to be able to do something right. Now, right just means right according to him, not right according to this world. Listen, this world is in a place where they say wrong is right and right is wrong. They're upside down, folks. Listen, if you don't believe that, God help you is all I can say. If you don't believe this world is upside down on what they're saying, you're badly mistaken. But God ain't upside down. His right's always going to be right. His wrong's always going to be wrong. And his children always going to do right. Oh, bless God, they are too. Tell me they're not. You didn't see no wrong in your dress, did you? Well, he says your dress made up of the righteousnesses. Oh, I didn't say your flesh wouldn't do wrong. You see, yeah, if you don't get this thing right, you'll get it. Yeah, I knew you'd come up with that. Listen, God's children do right. But it's the right that makes up what you wear. But it's his ability through you that you do right. You don't get anything for it. You don't get any glory for it. That's why they're saying, praise him. Remember, one of the four things in the very first verse was salvation, glory, honor, and starts with a P, next letter's O, next letter's W, next letter's E. Thank you. Power. Listen. You have the power to do what's right. But God give it to you. He gets the glory for it. When you do what's right, don't do this. Stick that chest out. Do this. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I can do what's right. Thank you that you've made me right. See, he makes us righteous, right? I mean, without his righteousness, you're not going. So you not only can do right things, you're right. You know, my dad used to say, he'd say to people, when he witnessed to them, he'd say, are you right with the Lord? Now, folks, that meant something back then. They knew exactly what he meant, too. Are you right with the Lord? In other words, if you're not right, you're... There wasn't no two ways about it. You're either right with him or wrong with him. You know, and one of the few people that I've heard in the last 10 years that would walk out a church door and say, I'm not right, is Greg. Yeah. Used to be, this woman, I'll tell you, she grew up with me back in, you know, it used to be that people would acknowledge they were wrong, that they were lost. But folks, we so perverted Everybody seems to be right. Well, no, they're not. So he says that you're blessed because of something. And he says unto them, right, blessed are they which are called, invited unto the marriage supper. You say, well, Tom, that can't be talking about the bride. You wouldn't invite the bride to the supper, would you? I mean, isn't that just a given? Well, let me ask you this. Ladies, help me out. You wouldn't marry a man didn't ask you, would you?
No.
Huh? Come on now. Why, no. You wouldn't marry. I mean, you just wouldn't walk up to some stranger and say, let's get married. Well, they'd say you're insane. Listen, when a man comes and does this, and I know that, I'm going to try to get down. This knee's not as good as it used to be. You know, when a man does that and asks you to marry him, what do you think he's doing? He's inviting you. He's inviting you to be his bride. Well, what do you think it is when the Holy Spirit comes to a person and says, you're lost. Won't you come to me?
Inviting me.
Well, sure he is. He's inviting you to be his bride. And when he invites you to be the bride, he invites you to the marriage supper. That's not hard. I mean, it's crazy how people get this thing sideways. And then he goes on to say this. Now, John, he says, remember, now John's on the Isle of Patmos, folks. Don't forget that. He's seeing what's going on in heaven, but he's on the Isle of Patmos. And all of a sudden, he says, boy, he's overwhelmed. I mean, he's into the spirit of what's going on in heaven, and he's praising the Lord, and he's seeing that it's blessed is they who called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and he's seeing these angels, and he's seeing all these people praising the Lord. He's caught up in a moment. He says, well, I want to get in there and worship. So he falls down to worship this person, this angel that's bringing him this news. Well, the angel is quick because the angel come from God. And the angel knows, oh, no, 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 don't worship me. He says, don't worship me. Worship me not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren. Here's what he's saying. I'm just a ministering spirit sent to minister unto the brethren of God. Don't worship me. Worship God. Why? Because Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What does that say? What do you think that means? What does it mean to the word prophecy there? What do you think that means? Well, let me ask you this. I'm trying to help. Yeah, I try to help. Y'all, I can. I don't have time for you to think a whole lot. If I said, Shirley, can you prophesy tomorrow for me? Tell me about tomorrow. Predict tomorrow. Well, you can't. That's what the word means, is predict. In other words, if I said to you, predict what I'm going to do tomorrow at 12 o'clock, you'd say, are you crazy? I can't predict that. But if I said to you, Henry, I can predict your future. What would you say to me? Oh, you'd say how? Right? Yeah, you'd say how? I'd say, Jesus. If you'll accept Jesus, I can tell you exactly how your future's going to happen. And if you reject him, I'll tell you exactly how your future's going to be. See, because through Jesus, it says, it's the spirit of predicting. You can't predict any other way. Why? Because he's the only one that's in tomorrow. Right? I don't know who holds tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. Listen, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow at 12 o'clock, Shirley. But Jesus does. Because he's already there. Therefore, I can predict my life through him, but only through him. So then after that, after all this worship and praise and everything, you know what the next words are? And I saw heaven open. Now, back in chapter 4, how did John go up? Yeah, he went up, but how did he get into heaven? Shout it out, honey.
Through a door.
You got it.
He
says, and I saw a door open in heaven. Well, ain't no door here. Because one man went through the door. Remember that big multitude, that big innumerable amount? They all coming out now. Here they come. Heaven opened. And I saw a... How many of you like horses? Well, the rest of you better get to. How many of you can ride a horse? Well, the rest of you better start learning. Because you're going to need the riding lessons. Oh, no, you won't either. Because I got news for you. Everybody going to be able to ride a horse. If there's horses. I've never seen a heavenly horse. I don't know. I don't know what these white horses mean. I just don't know. It says horses, right? I say it's the way in which we come back. Right? If it's white horses, hallelujah. If it's not white horses, hallelujah. Remember, hallelujah. We're saying hallelujah for everything now because he says, and I saw a white horse. And him that... Oh, glory. Well, who's the him there? Well, blessed is the bride. Well, this must be the... Yeah, bless God, here he comes. Listen, you can't have a wedding without the groom, right? And guess who's with him? Yeah, come on. Yeah. I wish I knew that music. I'd start playing it and we'd all run out of the church. People would say, what? Them people's crazy. And I saw heaven open and him that, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon it was called, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written so that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in his blood, in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon... That's us. Clothed in... What makes up that fine linen, clean and white? Thank you. The righteousness is, yeah. And he says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What is that you're seeing right there? Well, you say, Tom, I seems like I've heard that before. Seems like if I went back to chapter 17, verse 14, I'd see that again. He says, there he's talking about, remember the 10 kings and the beast? You know, and the 10 kings, they give their power to the beast, right? And their armies. And they go out and make war, it says, against the Lamb. But it says, but the Lamb... Is anybody back in 17:14? But the Lamb overcometh them because he is Lord of Lords, King of Kings. Hallelujah! That's your God. That's your Savior. That's your Lord. That's your king. Don't tell me if he wants to come out of the sky right now, you wouldn't be saying, praise your holy name. Well, folks, what's different? What's different, I ask you? Why can't we praise him? He's coming. Maybe in the next minute. You say, Tom, you've gone plumb nuts. I tell you, I've never heard you holler and squeal so much. I get excited. I can't help it. But he says, the armies that followed him. That's us. But you know what about this army? Now, I was in the Marine Corps. And you know, in Vietnam, we all went out to fight. And we all were in jeopardy, right? I mean, we all had weapons, right? Well, it don't say anything about me having a weapon there. It just says I'm on my horse. Well, there ain't no need to laugh at me. That's the way I ride my horse. When I was little, I had me a broom handle and I'd ride the horse. Hey, I'm riding the horse. I'm riding the horse. And I ain't got no weapon. I don't need a weapon. Because my king's out front. Now, in Vietnam, the commander was in the back. He sent us out. No, not here. My king's out front. I'm almost done. Now, you leave me alone. I'm riding this horse. Well, they can sit down here in a second. I should have come to Sunday school and then they could sit down. Shouldn't have said that. I take that back. So, and guess what? My king, he's got this sword. And you know how it works? You're dead. You're dead. Oh, you're dead. That's all he has to say, is you're dead. And they're dead. Oh, if you don't believe me, watch this. And then I'm done. I got to finish this. I'm real quick. I'm almost done, I promise. He says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun and cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together for the supper of the great God. Listen, you can either come to the marriage supper, bless God, or you're going to be supper. One of the two, take your choice. That ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, all known, known. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the throne. What fools. Think they can go to war against God. But it says, and the beast and the false prophet were taken and cast into the lake of fire. War's over. Wasn't much of a war after all, was it? Well, I'm done. I'm boring myself out.